I'm on, right? That's not the one. Let's see here. This is the one. All right. Excuse me. Turn to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 16. This is a good verse to memorize. It takes a little while, but if you work at it, you could do it. Okay? It's a little bit harder than Jesus wept, but 1 Thessalonians 5:16, rejoice evermore. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, I do thank you that you are a great God, a wonderful God that gives us many things to rejoice in, including you, first and foremost. And I pray, Lord, that you be with me tonight. Help me to put across what you laid on my heart. And I pray that the Lord Jesus Christ and his words would be magnified here, and your people, of course, would be edified. And I pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. I thought I would go on the lighter side tonight, but I'm not sure if I can promise that it'll stay light. What got me thinking on this, I actually wasn't going to preach this tonight. But yesterday, we went up to, we were knocking on doors up in St. Cloud, and we met a few interesting people. One was a self-proclaimed philosopher. Anyways, by the time we left his house, and I'll tell you this, I was very nice to the man, okay? But he had a really hard heart, and we're walking down the sidewalk, and he's yelling, "You hypocrites! You hypocrites!" He goes, "You rejoice that we're going to hell, don't you?" You know, and I'm like, "What in the world? You know what? If I rejoice that people would go to hell, or that they're going to hell, I wouldn't bother going out on the street. I wouldn't bother going knocking on doors. I would just sit here and say, 'Thank you, Lord, that I'm going to heaven, and they're all going to hell.'" You know, I'm not sure what he was reading. I know there's a guy out there. He roams around the country from Kansas. His name is Phelps. He's a street preacher, but I really don't. I really wish he wouldn't be on the street, because people kind of associate us street preachers with him. And the guy, he's kind of whacked, you know. And I think he does rejoice that people are going to hell. You know, he's a Calvinist. He doesn't believe man has a free will, and so God predestined for people to be saved. And God also predestined for people to be damned. And so he goes out there on the street and he's all happy that they're going to hell. Well, I'm not happy that people are going to hell. I wouldn't be doing what I'm doing if I was happy or rejoicing that people went to hell. And so it got me thinking about what the Bible says about rejoicing and what to rejoice in. And I looked through the Bible in Deuteronomy. I'm just going to talk a little bit here. As introduction of what God rejoices in. Go to Deuteronomy 28. I don't want to go too deep into this because this isn't even the sermon. But God rejoices in a few things in the Bible. And this is the first place, if my memory serves me correct, where it says God rejoices over anything. And in Deuteronomy 28:63, it says, "It shall come to pass that as the Lord rejoiced over you to do you good." Now, it's talking about the nation of Israel. And the nation of Israel under the law of Moses. And if they followed the law of Moses, God would bless them. If they didn't follow the law of Moses, God did not bless them. I'll tell you this, though. I do believe that God rejoices over doing good to his people. But then if you read on, it says here, and this is something that I really don't fully, I can't say that I fully understand it. I do believe it. But it says, "The Lord rejoiced over you to do good and to multiply you, so the Lord will rejoice over you to destroy you and to bring you to naught." You got to remember, the Lord, we are not the Lord. And the Lord is holy. And the Lord gets to a place with Israel when they turn away from him that he rejoices over them to destroy them also. So there's a couple places where the Lord rejoices. He rejoices to do good to his people, and he rejoices to do to destroy them. And I'll just give you a somewhat of a list. But in Psalm 60, verses 6 through 8, and the same thing is pretty much repeated in Psalm 108, verses 7 through 9, and then Isaiah 62, I didn't write it down, but I think it's Isaiah 62, verses 4 to 7, Isaiah 65, verse 19, and Jeremiah 32, verse 41, and Zephaniah 3, 17. I'm not going to read them all, but all there lumped together, God rejoices. God is rejoicing when Israel gets back in the land and gets what's hers, and the king is in the midst of her. And that's, you know, you got to go through and read them all. But God rejoices. He's going to rejoice in the day when his son sits on that throne and Israel gets that land and Jerusalem gets what's hers. In Luke 15, verse 6, this is the parable of, you know, a lot of different lost things. And if you make the Lord the shepherd in verses 3 through 7, you got the Lord rejoicing when he finds one of his lost sheep. You know, I believe he does rejoice when a lost person gets saved, turns from his sin and gets saved. But I also believe that when one of his children turn from him and are sliding back, and when they come back to him, he rejoices. And so do the angels in heaven. So he rejoices over that. This is my favorite right here, Luke 10:21. In Luke 10, verse 21, this is the only time it talks about Jesus actually rejoicing. And it says, "In that hour, Jesus rejoiced in spirit and said, I thank thee, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that thou hast hid these things from the wise and prudent and hast revealed them unto babes. Even so, Father, for so it seemed good in thy sight." He rejoiced in spirit because babes got revealed more truth than the wise and prudent. And I'll tell you this. We are in the trouble today in this country because people have been following after the wise and prudent, the experts, you know, and I'm talking about Christians. You know, they go to these Bible seminaries and they basically learn how to not believe the book, you know. And I'll tell you this, there are children in this church because they believe the book and they've been taught under a Bible ministry that know more about what's going to happen, what things to come, than these people in the seminaries because they reject the book and they correct the book and they go to any book they just feel like or prefer, you know. But Jesus rejoiced in spirit, not because, you know, because the God didn't reveal it to the wise and prudent. He didn't reveal it to the experts, but he revealed it unto babes. And that's the God of the Bible. He rejoices over things like that. Another place where it says, you know, you could kind of say that the Lord rejoices in Proverbs 8 when, you know, of course, the Lord Jesus Christ is made unto us wisdom, and where wisdom rejoices in the habitable parts of the earth. And so those are basically the places and the reasons God rejoices. God rejoices. In Proverbs 24, verse 17, it says, "Rejoice not when thine enemy falleth." You know, I don't think we as Christians, listen, God can rejoice over destroying his people, you know, but I don't think we can. I don't think that's our place. We're not God. We're not supposed to rejoice even when our enemy falls. There's even a place in the Bible where it says, you know, pray for them that persecute you, you know. And that's where I kind of lean, you know, because if you go over to the NIV, they kind of take that part out, and so I might lean toward that way. But no, it does say that. Pray for them that persecute you. You know, that's how the gospel grew in early times. When the Christians were getting eaten by lions, there were Christians down there while they're getting their arms chewed off, praying for their persecutors. They're praying for their persecutors. So those are areas where God rejoices, where we should not rejoice. But first and foremost, we're in Luke chapter 10, and we'll go to verse 20. And this is after, the 70 go out, and they're happy because, you know, Satan, his devils, are underneath them. And in verse 19, Jesus says, this is Luke 10, verse 19, "Behold, I give unto you power to tread on serpents and scorpions, and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. Notwithstanding, in this rejoice not." Don't rejoice. You know, and I spent 4 years kind of on the charismatic Pentecostal side, and there are a lot of people saying, you know, "Oh, devil, I cast you out, devil, I cast you out, devil." And I'll guarantee you this, you know, the devil didn't care. But it says here, don't rejoice. Listen, we do have power. over scorpions. We do have power over devils. We have the Lord Jesus Christ living inside of us. But don't rejoice in that. Rejoice not that the spirits are subject unto you, but rather rejoice because your names are written in heaven. That's a simple thing to rejoice in. Rejoice that you are saved and your name is written in heaven. If your name is written in heaven, are you saved? Have you been born again, truly? Has there been a time in your life when you've turned from your sin, realizing that you're a sinner that deserves to go to hell, and put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ alone? It's not about baptism. It's not about confirmation. It's not about church membership. It is about putting your faith and trust in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ and in His shed blood alone, not in you. But listen, if you've done that, if you're saved, rejoice. Go back and rejoice that your names are written in heaven. That is something to remember. Because a lot of times, you know, there's a lot of things, you know, there's trials and tribulations that come our way. That's the way life is. We were talking to a nurse at Children's Hospital during Stephanie's procedure, and she was talking about, she thought Stephanie might have brothers and sisters. Oh, do you, fight about, that's mine, and, this isn't fair. And I'm like, no, she's it. Oh, then you don't have to do that. And I just said, I'd tell her life isn't fair. And, life isn't fair. Sometimes, and I kind of jokingly tell this, but, sometimes life stinks, man. It just plain old stinks. But you know what? Even though it stinks sometimes, rejoice that your names are written in heaven. Listen, this only, I figure this, I don't have that much time left, really, relatively speaking, especially when you compare it to eternity. And I'll tell you this, we're going to walk off into eternity and we don't know when, and it's a good thing to rejoice in that your names are written in that book. I went up to older Catholic gentleman, he's in his 70s, and I tried to give him a track, and a lot of times the really old Catholics up there that are embedded, they don't want to take anything. I'm like, are you sure it's free, I said, it can tell you how you can know for sure you're going to heaven when you die, of course. He says, well, nobody can know for sure. And I'm like, sure. I said, I know exactly where I'm going. He said, purgatory? I said, there is no purgatory. I'm going straight to heaven when I die. Well, how can it be that Mary appears all over the world and tells people to pray for the poor souls in purgatory that there is no purgatory? Because the Bible doesn't say so. It's that simple. But I know I'm going to heaven for sure. Turn to Habakkuk chapter 3. I did that because, it's a difficult book to find and took me a while. But in Habakkuk chapter 3, verse 18, it says, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will joy in the God of my salvation. You rejoice in that God of that salvation. You rejoice that your names are written in the book. Over in Psalm chapter 20, these are things to rejoice in. And sometimes life can get you down, but it's good to go back and find out in the Bible what we need to be rejoicing in. We have to just pick ourselves up and not have too much of a pity party about what's going on and rejoice in what the Lord has given us. Psalm 20, verse 5, we will rejoice in thy salvation. And in the name of our God, we will set up our banners. Isn't that great? Lift up your banner high, man. Your name's written in the book. In Luke chapter 1, verse 47, look at this. Mary rejoiced. It says, my spirit hath rejoiced in God my Savior. That means Mary wasn't sinless. Mary needed a Savior. And so do you. And if you're saved, rejoice in God your Savior. Rejoice in Him. Rejoice in the fact that your names are written in the book. Go to Philippians chapter 4. There's a lot of rejoicing going on in Philippians. And if I remember correctly, Paul was in jail when he wrote it. That would be fun. There was a time in the past when I got stuck in jail a couple times. I can't say that I really enjoyed it. And I can't say even back then that I really enjoyed the company. But praise the Lord. It says here in verse 4 of Philippians chapter 4, rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. Well, you know what? Rejoice in the Lord. Over in Psalm 97, You don't have to turn to these. I'm going to be going quickly through some of this. But in Psalm 97, verse 12, rejoice in the Lord, ye righteous, and give thanks at the remembrance of his holiness. Rejoice in the Lord, you know. And so one way to rejoice in the Lord is to give thanks at the remembrance of his holiness. Rejoice in his holiness. Rejoice that God is holy. Because I'll guarantee you this, if God wasn't holy, he wouldn't be good. And if God wasn't good, we're in trouble, you know. And I'm glad God is holy, too, because the Bible says that God cannot lie, you know. And in this book, it tells me that my name's written in that book up there. And I can rejoice in that because God is holy. And that's a good thing. There are a lot of people out there that don't like the fact that God is holy. They're running around trying to get alibis for their sin. Christians included, you know. But there's a lot of lost people that are running around saying they're searching for the truth. You know, wading through Plato, Aristotle, Aquinas, Augustine, and there is no truth there. But they're just wading through them things so they can find an alibi for sin. And of course, that's what evolution is all about, too. In Psalm 31, rejoice in the Lord. Rejoice in the Lord. You know, a lot of times you could scream. You know, I go to Stephanie's basketball games, and actually it was kind of fun watching the last game, and Aubrey went up there and got in a basket. And so you could rejoice. But you know what? A lot of times we rejoice more in something like that than we can in the Lord. And why is that as Christians? Why is it you can rejoice more in sports or more in anything else, really? Just put something in there than in the Lord. In Psalm 31, verse 7, it says, I will be glad and rejoice in thy mercy. You want to rejoice in the Lord? Rejoice in his mercy. Man, if the Lord wasn't merciful, where would we be, even as Christians? There's many a time that I deserve to get slapped, and he held back, you know. And that's just God's mercy. There was many a time when I was lost that I really did, I can't believe I'm here. Some of the things I did, and the Lord's mercy kept me going. His loving kindness kept me going, and that's an amazing thing. The Lord's mercy carries us through. In Hebrews chapter 4, rejoice in the Lord. Man, he is a good God. He is a great God. We got to keep that at the forefront of our minds and hearts. For we have not an high priest, Hebrews 4:15, which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities. He knows what we go through. He came down in the flesh, you know. He got hungry, you know. And he knows all that we go through, you know. That way, when somebody stands before him and says, you don't know, you're eternal. You're outside of time. You can't feel, how can you feel this? Okay, I'll go right down in the flesh. I'll go down in the flesh and I'll take part. Rejoice in his mercy. Rejoice in the fact that he can be touched with the feelings of your infirmities. Rejoice in his goodness toward us. I mean, think about what the Lord has done for you. Think about it. Think all that he's done for you. In Isaiah 65, this is by no means exhaustive. You can go on and on and on and on. Oh, here we go. Isaiah 65 and verse 18, it says, but be ye glad and rejoice forever in that which I create. This is after he talks about creating the new heavens and the new earth. But you know what? You can rejoice in him as the creator. I was sitting out in my backyard yesterday just looking at the trees and looking at the birds flying. And, you know, I can't say that I was, you know, trying to talk with the spirits in the trees, but I do like trees, you know. But rejoice in God's creation. Rejoice in it. I really believe, listen, we are created in Revelation chapter 4, I think it's verse 11. We are created for his pleasure. But I'll guarantee you this. Our God's a good God, and he created things down here for our pleasure because he loves to see his children get pleasure out of what he created and then turn around and glorify him and thank him. And that's one way that God is pleased, and you go out there and say, Lord, this is, you know, and I understand, you know, there's a curse on this, but even with the curse, this is a beautiful and a wonderful creation that he made. you know. To glorify him and thank him for that is a good step in the right direction. Many people, they reject that, and that's where they stop. Go to Proverbs chapter 5. Proverbs chapter 5. Whew. And I couldn't talk about rejoicing without talking about this. But rejoice that your names are written in heaven. Rejoice in the Lord and who he is. In Proverbs chapter 5, verse 18, it says, "Let thy fountain be blessed, and rejoice with the wife of thy youth." Do you know how many problems would be solved if you would rejoice with the wife of thy youth and go back to that? And I'm talking to married men right now. But you know what? He that findeth a wife findeth a good thing. Okay? If you have a godly wife that's trying to do right, rejoice with the wife of thy youth. And even if you don't, rejoice with the wife of thy youth. There is something to be said about doing that. And when you're rejoicing in the wife of thy youth, there are a lot of problems that could be looked over and that could be worked out. But it's something to remember. It's something to remember. Go to 2 Corinthians chapter 7. And verse 9. And Paul writes, "Now I rejoice, not that you were made sorry, but that ye sorrowed to repentance." He rejoiced that Christians repented of walking in the wrong way. And we should too. You know? If there is a Christian that is walking in the wrong direction, and they stop and they turn around and start walking in the right direction, we need to rejoice. I mean, that is a great thing. You know? It's a great thing because a lot of times what happens in the heart when a Christian starts to back off from the Lord and back off from his people, it's very hard to get back. It's very hard to get back in the saddle again. And when that happens, rejoice. Go back to Luke 15. And we had read this before. And of course, it says here, this lost sheep in verse 6, "And when he cometh home," when that lost sheep cometh home, "he calleth together his friends and neighbors, saying unto them, Rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep which was lost. I say unto you that likewise joy shall be in heaven over one sinner that repenteth, more than over 99 just persons which need no repentance." And of course, he's talking to Jews. Hey, I came to call not the righteous, but sinners to repentance. And there were people that he was talking to that believed they were just fine, you know. But I'll tell you this, as a Christian, I'll tell you, there is joy in heaven. And we should go along with that joy that's in heaven when a sinner repents and a Christian, when they're sinning, when they repent and they get right. That's something to rejoice in. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, like I said before, I don't rejoice in people dying and going to hell. That's what this church is all about. You know, I mean, this church, first and foremost, should be about glorifying the Lord, but in glorifying the Lord, we need to be about winning the lost, you know, being a witness. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 19, Paul writes, "For what is our hope or joy or crown of rejoicing? Are not even ye in the presence of our Lord Jesus Christ at his coming?" Do you know anybody that you lead to the Lord is your crown of rejoicing? It's a crown that you can lay back at Jesus' feet. It's a crown that you get for a reward, but that's a crown of rejoicing. It's an amazing thing when you... the Christian life is fun when you actually get into the battle. You know, it can be fun. You know, there was one guy, we walked to his house, and yesterday, there's nothing like knocking on doors and talking to people, just to find out where they're at. And this guy, he was pretty foul-mouthed, it's like, whatever. But he said, "I don't want to have anything to do with church." He goes, "They support Mexicans and Indians, and I'm a white guy." And I just like, what in the world? He just started laughing. What are you talking about? You know? He says, I don't want to have anything to do with it. And he says, I don't need it. And I said, well, you know, everybody needs the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, and then he got mad at me, started swearing at me. And I said, listen, he said, I can believe in whatever I want to. You sure can. But you're going to have to suffer the consequences for what you don't believe in, you know. And then walked away. And we went two houses down. Of course, this stretch of neighbors were kind of friends. And that was interesting, to say the least. But people are interesting. People are interesting. Go to Psalm 119, 162. It's an amazing thing. One time, I got to lead, you know, people to the Lord in different places. I didn't write them down in my Bible. I'm not sure how many, because I can't count up to a million. I'm just kidding. But it is a joy when you lead somebody to the Lord and you look in their eyes and you could see the change. You know, you encounter the Lord Jesus Christ that way. It's an amazing thing to see that. When you see a 14-year-old kid who basically murdered his mother get saved, I mean really saved, that's a wonderful thing. That's a crown of rejoicing. One time I was, I think I've told this story before, but I don't know if all you heard it. We used to go to Oak Park Heights, the maximum security prison, and there was always, before our service, there was always the Muslim service. And there was a guy that came up to me after I preached. We took turns preaching. And after I preached, he came up to me and we talked. And he was, of course, you know, black, but he wasn't a black Muslim, which is different than Islam. But that's another thing. But anyways, he came up and he was saying basically that Christianity and Islam are one and the same. And I said, no, they are not. Not in the least. I said, the God of the Bible had a son, and that son died for you, and you need to receive the Lord Jesus Christ of the Bible as your personal Savior, or else you're going to die and go to hell. Needless to say, he wasn't very pleased, but he started talking about, yelling about praising all and all this, and then he got really quiet and kind of halfway suedo peaceful and looked me in the face too, and he said, peace be to you in the name of Allah. And I said, oh. I said, well, peace be to you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And then he came up to my face, he said, you wouldn't tell me that on the street, you know. And I said, I'd tell you that on the street, and I'll tell you that here. And he was mad. One of his cellmates ran up to me and says, man, that guy, he persecutes me all the time, you know. He was like a Pentecostal-type Christian. I'm like, yeah. And you know what? I wrote the guy off. I just, like, whatever. It's just some Muslim that, you know, whatever. There was kind of a bumpy ride getting back in there, but we got back in, I don't know, it was 4 or 5 months later. All of a sudden, I saw him. I knew who he was. I recognized him. And he had a Bible under his arm. And I'm like, what in the world happened, you know? And he came up to me. He says, I have been waiting for you guys to come back. I've been waiting. He goes, I just want to tell you I got saved. And I'm like, whoa. And, you know, I mean, really, I almost cried, you know. And I'm usually not a sensitive person, you know. Just ask my wife and daughter. But I rejoiced in the fact that I wasn't faithful. I didn't pray for that guy, but God still used the words that I spoke to him, and he got saved. I'm not sure all that happened to him. I tried to keep correspondence with him. And I'll tell you this, when a black Muslim gets saved and tries to move over into another camp in the prison, it's a little bit, it's not that easy. You know, I don't know what went on, but anyways, rejoice when one sinner repents. Rejoice. Psalm 119, 162. This is a good psalm to memorize. It'd take a little bit more work than 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 16. But in verse 162, David writes, I rejoice at thy word as one that findeth great spoil. You know what? You have in your laps great spoil. And we need to remember that and we need to rejoice in that. Many Christians died and shed their blood so we can have this book. And when I say this book, I am not talking about the NIV, the RSV, the ESV, the NASB, and any other B, you know. I'm talking about the King James Bible. You know, nobody died bringing us those. There were many that died. The King James translators saw people burnt at the stake for the words of God, you know. And it is great spoil. It is great spoil to know that you have a perfect book. And when you get out there in the battle and you have a perfect book on your side, it is something to rejoice in. Because I'll tell you, it clears up a lot of things. I'll guarantee you that. There's a lot of ways when you're talking to different people that they can go. But if you say, hey, wait a minute, let's get down to the standard. Let's see what the Bible says. And let's see if we can believe what the Bible says without changing it. Rejoice in the words of the Lord. Rejoice that these words, they're going to last forever. You know, they're going to be there up in heaven when you have a body like Jesus Christ. And I don't know if it's going to like be in black leather or how that's going to work. But they're going to be there. You know, they are going to be there. I still don't understand. You know, everybody runs around. There's a lot of Christians that run around and talk about God's Word, capital W, but they don't believe His words. And Jesus said, if a man love me, he will keep my words, in John chapter 14. Keep those words, rejoice in them. In Psalm 19, it's a part of what we sing. This is a psalm that we sing at times, at least part of it. In verse 8, the statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. They should rejoice your heart. The law should rejoice your heart. Even though you don't get saved by the law anymore, even though you're not under the law, even though the law has been nailed to the cross, you know what? Rejoice in that law. It brought you to Jesus Christ. It gave you the knowledge of sin. Rejoice in it. Rejoice in God's words. In Jeremiah chapter 15 and verse 16, it says, thy words were found, and I did eat them, and thy word was unto me the joy and rejoicing of mine heart. For I am called by thy name, O Lord God of hosts. You're called by his name. Rejoice in his words. Eat them. Eat his words. You know, take them inside of you. Hide them in your heart that you may not sin against them. Rejoice in God's words. Go to Philippians chapter 2. This is all good stuff. You know, this is stuff that can lift you up. Man, if we'd be running around, I used to get so sick of, you know, kind of the fake, you know, praise the Lord stuff that in some of the churches I used to be in. Oh, praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord. It's like, you know, I mean, really. But you know what? We need to praise the Lord. We need to rejoice in the Lord. There's something to be said about that. Just don't let it be shallow. Let it be real. Philippians chapter 2. Well, we'll start in verse 14. Do all things without murmurings and disputings. And I'm not sure if that's in the Vaticanus or not. But in verse 15, that ye may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God, without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom ye shine as lights in the world, holding forth the word of life, that I may rejoice in the day of Christ. Do you know, you can rejoice in the day of Christ with Paul when people hold forth the word of life. You know, that's our job. Our job is to hold this book forth, to shine as lights in the world. And when we do that, you can rejoice. You can rejoice in that. It's been a little while since I've been out on the street, but there's something to be said for going out on that street and preaching to a public that doesn't want to hear it. You know what? You go out there and you're fighting that flesh, and it's like, man, I really don't want to do this. Oh, man, I might see somebody at work. And then I'll go to work and they'll think I'm a kook, you know. I might see somebody that knows me from school and they'll think I'm some fanatic, you know. I could paint my face purple, and it's okay if they think I'm a fanatic for the Vikings or something, but for the Lord, oh, no, a fanatic. But there's something, there's a joy that comes when you get out there. And that's why, too, I sing out on the street, too. So everybody gets a chance to stand out there and proclaim and be a witness to a lost and dying world. It's great to go out and preach to, you know, and talk to people at their doorsteps, holding forth the word of life. And it is a joy when you see new Christians come in and they grow and then they start going forth and holding forth the word of life. That's an amazing thing. In 2 John, 2 John and verse 4, John writes, I rejoice greatly that I found thy children walking in truth. And in 3 John 4, I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in truth. You know? And of course, you know, not everybody's your child spiritually, but Christians, it's a joy to see other Christians walking in the truth. You know? It's like when you're rubbing those coals together in the fire, it burns the fire brighter and hotter. You know? And you can rejoice in that. Go to 1 Peter. There's many things to rejoice in. You can rejoice that your names are written in the book of life. You can rejoice in the Lord in many ways, first and foremost, especially. Men, if you're married, you can rejoice at the wife of thy youth. You can rejoice when a sinner repents. You can rejoice in God's words. You can rejoice that those words of life are held forth. And in 1 Peter 1, 5, it says here, well, in 4, we'll go to 4, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled and that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you. Man, you have a reservation. If you're saved, you have a reservation. You cannot lose your salvation. You couldn't work to get it, and you sure can't work to keep it. You know, it's reserved. You got a reservation. It says, who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. You know, a lot of these verses are familiar verses, but it's good to have them held forth. And it's good to remember these things, and it's good to remember what to be rejoicing in. What to joy. That doesn't mean, you know, you walk around with these permigrins on your face, but there's something to rejoice in, you know. There's many things to rejoice in. And you can rejoice in the fact that your salvation is not kept by your power, but by the power of God. And that's a great thing. And continuing reading on, it says, wherein ye greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, ye are in heaviness through manifold temptations. So you can greatly rejoice in the fact that your salvation is kept by the power of God, reserved in heaven for you. And through that, listen, but if need be, ye are in heaviness through manifold temptations. There are many temptations that come our way. There's many trials that come our way. You know, and it does bring heaviness. But in that, remember that your salvation is kept by the power of God. You know, we have a good God. Rejoice in that. It says that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. Rejoice when the trial of your faith brings forth gold. You know, and that's what it's all about. God's trying to do something in us. God's trying to make us more like the Lord Jesus Christ, and he's trying to bring us forth as gold. He's trying to take away the dross, you know. And rejoice in the fact that when you go through those trials, that you have the victory in the Lord Jesus Christ, and it brings forth gold. Go to 1 Peter chapter 4. And we'll start in verse 11. 1 Peter 4, verse 11. If any man speak, let him speak as the oracles of God. Hey, you have a perfect book, you can speak with authority. If any man minister, let him do it as of the ability which God giveth, that God in all things may be glorified through the Lord Jesus Christ, to whom be praise and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial which is to try you, as though some strange thing happened unto you, but rejoice, inasmuch as ye are partakers of Christ's sufferings, that when his glory shall be revealed, ye may be glad also with exceeding joy. If ye be reproached for the name of Christ, happy are ye. Now these sufferings are the fact that when you go out and you stand for Jesus Christ and you're holding forth the word of life, you're going to bear reproach of men, you know. You're gonna lose some things. I think it was Jim Elliot. He was a missionary down to the Alca Indians down in Ecuador, I think it was, in South America. And he said, he is no fool that giveth what he cannot keep to gain what he cannot lose. You know? But I'll tell you this, if you live for the Lord Jesus Christ, you're going to be a partaker of his sufferings. You know, if you live for the Lord Jesus Christ, as Paul wrote in 2 Corinthians 12, there may be infirmities that you have to go through. Paul prayed three times, Lord, heal me, Lord, heal me. And the Lord said, nope, you got to go through it. My grace is sufficient for thee. You know, God can heal, and he does if it's according to his will, but you know, sometimes God doesn't heal, you know. And sometimes God wants you to go through those things. And they go through those things for a purpose. And the hard thing is to rejoice in it. And to rejoice in that reproach. Also, when you stand for the Lord Jesus Christ, go to Colossians chapter 1, verse 24. It says, Paul is writing, "Who now rejoice in my sufferings for you, and fill up that which is behind of the afflictions of Christ in my flesh, for his body's sake, which is the church." Paul suffered and partook in Christ's sufferings for the body of Christ's sake. For the body of Christ's sake. And you know what? If you get into the ministry, you know, you're going to suffer some things. It's just the way it goes. And there's a lot of different things that you can suffer. In 2 Corinthians chapter 12, I'll read through that. Paul writes in verse 3, "And I knew such a man, whether in the body or out of the body," this is 2 Corinthians 12, verse 3, "I cannot tell, God knoweth, how that he was caught up into paradise and heard unspeakable words, which is not lawful for a man to utter. Of such an one will I glory, yet of myself I will not glory, but in mine infirmities." He's going to glory in his infirmities. "For though I would desire to glory, I shall not be a fool, for I will say the truth. But now I forbear, lest any man should think of me above that which he seeth me to be, or that he heareth of me. And lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelations." God showed him much. And you know what? God's shown you much. And we're not above suffering because of that. "There was given to me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan, to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. For this thing I besought the Lord thrice, that it might depart from me. And he said unto me, My grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, I will rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me." If you got stuff you're going through, glory in it, rejoice in it, so that you can encounter the resurrected Jesus Christ. So that the power of Christ's resurrection can rest upon you. And that's what the Lord wants. In Luke chapter 6, in verse 22, "Blessed are ye when men shall hate you, and when they shall separate you from their company." I can't remember who I was telling, but years ago, Liz's grandmother on one side was a Jehovah's Witness up north, up in Bagley. We went to the funeral, and after they all left the room that the funeral was in the nursing home, I pulled the guy aside, pulled him in the room. It was just me and him, Liz and Steph. Steph was young, and I didn't want to cause a scene. I just wanted to talk to the man, and you know, things were going really well, actually. He was starting to like, whoa, I can't answer this, I can't answer that. And anyways, then and a nice old lady walked in, and then it all blew up. And she's like, "What are you doing? What are you doing?" I said, "Ma'am, this is none of your business. Why don't you just leave?" Well, while that was all blowing up, everybody decided to come in from the cafeteria back into the room, you know. And needless to say, I was the enemy, of course. Blessed are ye when all men shall hate you. I'll guarantee you there was some of that family that hated me at that moment, and all I was doing was trying to get the truth to this man, you know. And but the good side is that part of the family didn't ask us over for Christmas and Thanksgiving for a long time. Praise the Lord, you know. Blessed are ye when men shall hate you, and when they shall separate you from their company, and shall reproach you, and cast out your name as evil for the Son of Man's sake. Listen, you go out and you witness for the Lord Jesus Christ. And I'm not saying go out just to be offensive for offense's sake, but all you got to do is go out and stand for Jesus Christ, be a witness for Jesus Christ, and men will hate you, okay? Rejoice in it. 1 Peter 4 says, happy are you. Be happy, you know, be happy. That's what it's all about, right? Your happiness. Well, be happy when men hate you when you stand up for Jesus Christ, you know, because it's going to happen. And that's just the way it goes, you know. Welcome to the ministry. You know, you might even have Christians hate you. That's it. Welcome to the ministry. You know, that's the way it goes. Turn to Revelation 18. Listen, I cannot talk about rejoicing without talking about this. There are many things to rejoice in, and I hope this is uplifting for you. I hope this helps you to see that, you know what? Life is short. You know, boast not thyself of tomorrow, because you don't know what a day is going to bring. You don't know what's going to happen. And I'll tell you this, one day you're going to be standing before the Lord of glory, and man, it's going to be all worth it. Just keep going, man. Rejoice. This is Revelation 18, verse 20. Yeah. It's talking about Babylon. I'll read a few verses here into 19. But it says, "Rejoice over her, thou heaven, and ye holy apostles and prophets, for God hath avenged you on her. And a mighty angel took up a stone like a great millstone and cast it into the sea, saying, Thus with violence shall that great city Babylon be thrown down and shall be found no more at all. And the voice of harpers and musicians and of pipers and trumpeteers shall be heard no more at all in thee, and no craftsmen." Watch out for the craftsmen, because I think that's more than just, it's like witchcraft, among other things. Or masonry is the craft. But there's no craftsman of whatsoever craft he be shall be found any more in thee, and the sound of a millstone shall be heard no more at all in thee, and the light of a candle shall shine no more at all in thee, and the voice of the bridegroom and of the bride shall be heard no more at all in thee, for thy merchants were great men of the earth, for by thy sorceries were all nations deceived. Listen, there is no white magic. There is no good magic. It's all black magic, you know. For thy sorceries were all nations deceived, and in her was found the blood of prophets and of saints and of all that were slain upon the earth. And after these things, I heard a great voice of much people in heaven saying, Hallelujah, salvation and glory and honor and power unto the Lord our God, for true and righteous are his judgments, for he hath judged the great whore, which did corrupt the earth with her fornication, and hath avenged the blood of his servants at her hand. And they said, Hallelujah, and her smoke rose up forever and ever. Rejoice that one day that old whore that sits on seven hills is going to be destroyed, and the smoke is going to go up forever and ever. How many people, how many saints has she killed? How many people has she led into the ditch, into hell? You know? Like I said, I grew up Roman Catholic, and there are still many of my family that are lost and going to hell because of that great whore. There are many people in my family that died and went to hell, and I don't rejoice in it because of that great whore. And I am going to rejoice in that day when that great whore is destroyed. I will guarantee you that. It's going to be a wonderful day for me because she continually puts out lies. She continually leads people down the wrong path. And there she is making peace with the Beatles, because I'll guarantee you this, that music will have a part in making the one world church. And the great whore here is the Roman Catholic Church, which is going to control all the other churches. Throw the Protestant ones in there, throw Islam in there, throw the New Age in there, and that's Babylon. That's Mystery Babylon. And one day, God's going to destroy it all. And that's going to be a great day. Rejoice at the coming destruction of the great whore. And go back to Revelation chapter 12. Revelation chapter 12. And we'll go to verse, well, let's see here. This is something that's future. This is something that's going to happen in the tribulation, in the 70th week of Daniel, that last week that's coming. But in verse 7, there was war in heaven. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon, and the dragon fought and his angels and prevailed not. Neither was their place found any more in heaven. Do you know Satan is not sitting on a throne down in hell? Satan is the prince of the power of the air. And if you go read Job, Satan still had access. He still has access. He hasn't been kicked out yet. Well, one day he's going to be kicked out of there, and then he's going to be kicked out of here, and he's going to be kicked over into the lake of fire. It says here in verse 8, "And prevailed not, neither was there place found any more in heaven. And the great dragon was cast out, that old serpent called the devil and Satan, which deceiveth the whole world. He was cast out into the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. And I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, Now is come salvation and strength, and the kingdom of our God, and the power of his Christ. For the accuser of our brethren is cast down, which accused them before our God day and night." He's your accuser. You know? That's why you got to put on that helmet of salvation. That's why you got to rejoice that you're kept by the power of God. Because Satan's going to come in there saying all sorts of things and make you useless for him, for the Lord. And it says here, "And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony, and they loved not their lives unto the death." Not just death, but the death. There's a special death coming. probably, I would say, it's a death where you just sit right under there, under the guillotine, and get your head chopped off. Therefore, rejoice, ye heavens, rejoice, ye heavens, and ye that dwell in them. Woe to the inhabitants of the earth and of the sea, for the devil has come down unto you, having great wrath, because he knoweth he hath but a short time. When I was lost, I used to listen to this ungodly rock group called Iron Maiden. They had a song on one of their albums. One of their albums is called The Number of the Beast, and one of their songs was right after this, and then there's a little voice in the back, you know, woe unto you, the inhabitants of the earth and the sea, you know. Isn't that something? But you know what? You can rejoice that every second, every minute, every hour we get closer to the Lord Jesus Christ coming, you can rejoice that the devil, he has but a short time. He's going to get cast into the lake of fire, you know. There are battles to be fought and won down here. But ultimately, we have the victory over the war. It's already been done and won. And when the Lord Jesus Christ comes back, you can rejoice in that. And he's going to be thrown in the lake of fire. And then at the end of the millennium, man, he's going to come out. And there's still going to be man. You know, he can't blame the devil because he's been bound for 1,000 years. And they're still going to come out and they're still going to rebel against a holy God who sat there and gave them a great health plan and a food plan for 1,000 years. You know? See, it doesn't work. It doesn't work. You know, and then God's just going to, at that time, there's going to be nobody. Just fire comes out of heaven. Boof. You're done. And the devil is cast in the lake of fire where the beast and the false prophet are. Rejoice that the devil has but a short time. Rejoice that there's coming a day when you will no longer have to be sober and vigilant because it's going to be done. It's going to be complete. You know, you don't have to worry about it. And over here in or go back to Revelation 19 and verse 7. And this will be the last point. It says here, let us be glad and rejoice and give honor to him, the Lord Jesus Christ, for the marriage of the Lamb has come and his wife hath made herself ready. Are you ready? Do you love his appearing? Do you love the fact that he's going to get what's his? You know? Well, you know what? You can rejoice because the marriage supper, it's coming. It's coming. Proverbs 31, it's talking about the virtuous lady. In type, it's actually in type a picture of the church. And in Proverbs 31, 25, it says, strength and honor are her clothing, and she shall rejoice in time to come. There's coming a time when we're going to be rejoicing at the marriage supper of the Lamb, if you're saved. You know, and it's going to be a great day. In Romans chapter 5, you don't have to turn there. I'm just going to read it if I can get there. Romans chapter 5, verse 2, verse 1. Therefore, being justified by faith, you are declared not guilty by faith. We have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace, wherein we stand and rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. The glory of God when Jesus Christ returns. You have that hope. And you know what? Titus 2:13, that's what this church is named after. We are looking for that blessed hope. Rejoice in that. Rejoice in that. And all I can say in conclusion is going back to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 16. Rejoice evermore. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Lord, I do thank you for a perfect Savior, a perfect book, and many things, much more than I mentioned tonight, to rejoice in. I pray that you'd help us to see all that we have in the Lord Jesus Christ and all that he's done for us and is doing for us. And I pray that you'd help us to have an attitude of rejoicing even through the hard times and remember to praise thee in the good times. I pray that you'd be with this invitation. If there's anybody that has anything that they need to get right with thee, I pray that this would be a time that they could come forward and get things right. I pray that you'd bless the singing and help us sing in a way that our hearts are pleasing to in thy sight. And I pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Turn to 332. Denny, could you close us in prayer?